Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. In the name of Jesus, amen. Wait, you want me to do what? That was the first thing that came to mind when I was reading the lessons for today. Here's Moses, you know, minding his own business, happy with life, spending time working for his father-in-law, making a good buck, taking care of the sheep, traveling around, making sure they were safe and fed and all those things, you know. Content with life. He had a wife, had a place to live, good income. He was happy. And then all of a sudden, this burning bush starts talking to him. Now, I don't know about you, but if it were me and I saw a burning bush, I think I would quickly turn the other way and forget about those darn sheep. In fact, if somebody came to me and said, Pastor, this burning bush started talking to me today, I might say, we need to start some counseling and maybe see a psychiatrist. But that's not what happened, right? I mean, he interacted. He was curious, and he says, let me go over here and see this thing that is happening. I always find that a strange response. Let me go over here and see this thing that's happening. And he moseys on over to the bush. And we know the story. Out of that bush, the voice talks to him and tells him to take off his shoes. He's standing on holy ground, and they go into this whole conversation. And from this burning bush, God calls Moses. He says, I just have a little plan for you. Nothing too big. I want you to march on into Israel and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. I've seen their oppression. I don't like their slavery anymore, and you're going to be the one to set them free. No big deal. You got this. Wait, what do you want me to do? Can you imagine what must have been going through Moses' head? Sure, he was there. And he was like, wait a minute. Who do I tell him who sent me? He says, tell him I am who I am sent you. Again, I would have said, what does that mean? No, not Moses. He listened. A little later on, we know he even said to God, but Lord, I can't speak. I don't know how to talk to people. I can't do this. I don't have good words. And God even got around that excuse. Moses listened, begrudgingly at times, but he went. He went into Egypt, and we know the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. In many ways, we're kind of like Moses, aren't we? I mean, life's going well for most of us. We're happy. We're content. We're minding our own business. Life is good just the way it is. I have my own things to keep me occupied that I enjoy doing, just like Moses. But wait a minute. The reality is God never calls us to be comfortable. Never. He doesn't. And that's a stern warning and reality to each and every one of us. Because if we look at our lives and we realize in our churches and in our homes, if we're comfortable, something's not right. You may say, wait a minute, what does that mean, Pastor? Number one, we should never be comfortable with the fact that there are people going to hell. If we stop to think about it, that there are people outside in our world today dying and going into hell, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth, does that make you comfortable? Anybody show of hands? No, good. And nobody raise their hand. Okay. Right, it doesn't make us comfortable. Does it make us comfortable that in the United States today, new research has come out in the last month from the Pew Foundation showing that the fastest growing religion in the United States is Islam? That the Christian church is declining at its fastest rate in over 50 years? Does it make us comfortable in realizing that for the first time in the United States, less than 80% of people believe in a God at all? Does that make us comfortable? No, it doesn't make us comfortable. I hear people complaining all the time. I see it on Facebook. Oh, they've taken God out of schools. No, they've never taken God out of schools. We've gotten comfortable. God is everywhere. He's still in school. We just don't allow it. We don't recognize it and live it out in our lives because we get comfortable and complacent where we are. Because lest we have to go to the mighty Pharaoh himself, which is uncomfortable in the world around us, and say, Pharaoh, you just don't get it. It's time that God reveals himself once again. But God has called us. He has made us just for a time like this. You see, we live in a world that is in slavery and opposition every day, oppression every day. We live in a world full of slavery and oppression. Just look around. I just talked to you about it a minute ago. It appears on the surface that Christians are losing their right every day, and we willy-nilly give them up. When in reality, we're not losing our rights at all because we are not called to be citizens of this country, but to a higher calling, to that of God. We live in a world today where there are people dying and going to hell. We live in a world today where we don't know our neighbors like we used to. We don't get together with our neighbors and invite them into our homes. We live in a world where we're perfectly content with going to work and never getting to know anybody. We live in a world where it's okay to go to school, be around our friends, use foul language, have sex before marriage, but that's okay because everybody else is doing it. And the list goes on and on. That's the world we live in today. It's full of slavery and oppression because Satan is alive and well. And yet you and I, we are called to be above it. You and I have been blessed in baptism to be over it. You and I have been given victory over sin, death, and the devil, and in the power of the Holy Spirit have been called to go into this world that looks like darkness, that looks scary, that looks oppressed, that is in slavery, and rejoice and proclaim that the time of the Lord has already come. Oppression has been lifted. We have been set free in Jesus Christ and show the world a better way. You and I have been called, even bigger than a burning bush, more holier than the holy ground that Moses was standing on. God has called us in baptism through the power of his word and in the Lord's Supper to daily live in the world around us as agents of his love and gospel proclamation. Think about this for a minute. It's bigger than a burning bush. What a mystery that simple water applied in the name of the triune God placed the name of God, I am who I am, upon you. It placed Jesus Christ in you and filled you from the top of your head to the tip of your toes with the power of the Holy Spirit, who continues daily to keep you in your forgiveness and life and salvation. God has called you through the power of your word. Every time you hear the word of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that Holy Spirit is calling you into action, reminding you that you are his and forgiven, and setting you up high above in the heavenly realms, in the power of his kingdom. And in the Lord's Supper, every time we eat and drink of the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, once again, his forgiveness and grace and mercy are poured out upon us, and we are motivated, empowered by him to be the presence of Jesus in this world around us. God has called you and me into a world of darkness, slavery, and oppression to be the very presence of Jesus in all we do. Wait a minute, God. You want me to do what? I'm not going to be very popular. There might be people who won't like me. That's kind of hard. I don't want to be a Jesus freak. Well, Lord, I don't know what to say. I don't have the Bible memorized. I get too nervous talking to people. I don't know. I just can't. Yet in the midst of this, in his calling to Moses and in his calling to you and to me, there is one very important phrase that echoes over and over again. I am the divine name with you always. When we take time to realize in the midst of our calling, in the world around us, wherever we are, that the great I am is not only with us, but in us and working through us, the power of God is unstoppable. Luther said in a famous quote, if you cut open my heart and say, does Martin Luther live here? He said, no, Martin Luther does not live here, but Jesus lives here. What a phrase to think about. The Almighty Jesus Christ living in our hearts because of his call that was placed on us in baptism. You see, God has called you and me to declare the marvelous deeds of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He has set us free for just a time as this. He has called us to go out and to proclaim to the world the very thing we live in every day of our lives. His forgiveness and mercy and grace, which is unending, which started with his death on that cross, even before that, with his entrance into the world, which we'll be celebrating and preparing for in Advent coming up right around the corner, and in Christmas, living his perfect sinless life so that you and I could be credited with that perfect life, so that when God sees us, he sees us as perfect, righteous, and redeemed. He doesn't see our sinfulness, dying on that cross to forgive our sins past, present, and future, so that when God sees us, he no longer sees our sins, reminding us of what the psalmist says, that our sins have been removed from us as far as the east is from the west, and raising up from the dead 3 days later to assure us that what happened on that cross is for certain, and to open the kingdom of heaven so that we will be with God forever. He has opened the kingdom of heaven so that we will be with God forever. And through that, through the word and sacrament, through that gospel message, he comes down into our lives every moment of every day, because we live in a grace that does not end, a grace that does not change, a constant state of grace in our lives, the constant state of unconditional love for you and for me. God says, your sins are forgiven and I am with you always. Rejoice exceedingly. Rejoice and be glad, for you have been saved. And in this gospel proclamation, within this message, he gives us his Spirit so that he equips us, each one unique and individual, with our own gifts and abilities to go out to a world of slavery and oppression and to declare the marvelous deeds of the one who has called us from darkness into eternal light. By virtue of baptism, C.F.W. Walther, by the way, was the first president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, who wrote much of our doctrine that we confess and believe today, said, we are called, consecrated, and ordained. Wait a minute, those are not words that we usually use for lay people. There are a lot of pastors in the Missouri Synod who don't like this phrase, but I'm boldly going to say it because it's true. We are called, consecrated, and ordained into the office of the ministry by virtue of baptism. Each and every one of us, because we are part of a royal priesthood, the priesthood of Jesus Christ. It's not just up to the pastor or the church workers to proclaim the love of Christ. It belongs to all of us. This ministry is for you and for me, a precious gift of God's kingdom given to each and every one of us because of the living Lord Jesus Christ, that we might declare his love. For the ground that we are standing on is holy, set apart, just as it was for Moses. That's true. The ground you stand on every moment of every day is holy and set apart, just like it was for Moses. Why, you might ask? Because within you dwells the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And inside of that bush, he spoke to Moses and made it holy ground. Inside of you, he speaks to you and through you every day, making the ground you walk on every day holy, beautiful, and marvelously radiant for those around you. In the name of Jesus, amen.